This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
We cover lots of things around the Umpqua Valley, and we're in the waning days of the Oregon State Legislature's long session. State Senator David Brock Smith in Salem, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Kyle.
So, first of all, how many, this is like a countdown clock, how many days are left in the session?
17 days, Kyle.
17 days, a lot to talk about. I wanted to start, though, because of the potential impact on this area, with the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife Commission meeting tomorrow, and potential there to enact some regulations regarding Chinook salmon fall season there. Talk about that.
Yeah, thank you, Kyle. So the ODF&W Commission is discussing a closure of the fall Chinook fishery on the Umpqua because of the lack of return. So they had a forecast of return of 2024 forecast was 3,360 fish. The actual return was 1,318. And the sport fishery harvested roughly 1,700 fish. Now, these numbers are what the department gives. However, we know that there are huge problems with the closure of the fishery. So Representative Osborne, myself, Senator Anderson, and Representative Wright, who all have districts represent the Umpqua, came together earlier this week. I called a meeting with ODF&W to see what we can do. There is a proposal from them to have fishing from the banks west of Highway 101. That was not acceptable. Representative Osborne, and he can talk more about this when he's on, was pushing back hard on making sure that our river guides and the subsequent economic impact that they provide with heads and beds in our hotels and people in seats eating at our restaurants. It's critically important that, I mean, so many of our river guides are dependent upon that fishery, as are so many of our hotels and restaurants and other businesses during this fall fishery. And so we pushed back and had Representative Osborne speak about, you know, limiting days. So fishing, allowing for a bag limit of one, or a bag limit one a day, two a year, a bag limit, and then only allowing a certain number of days. That the department took back that feedback and then came back with a proposal that will be moved forward and discussed in the commission meeting tomorrow, of allowing for a 750 tag limit wide open along the whole river system. Again, this is a situation where you have the economic impact, but you also have the conservation of the fishery. Their formula is such that their critical abundance is right around 3,300 fish, the actual return at 1,318, and then they divide those to make sure that they're above, and they have through rule an automatic closure. And so again, we're pushing the commission to not do their rule of automatic closure and that we move forward with a limited fishery. This is all in flux, so we haven't really had, since we're in Salem working on everything else. I mean, we were on the floor yesterday in the Senate, for example, from 8 to 10, 11 to 12:30, and 4 to 6. So we haven't been able to get the outreach to our guides and fishermen and women in the Umpqua Valley to really get their feedback. I have been in contact with folks at the Umpqua Fishermen's Enhancement Derby. It's really, the impact is coming from, and you probably saw our press release yesterday, Kyle.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, you're getting warmer water because of the wildfires that are occurring on the federal landscape that, of course, are removing those shade trees along the tributaries and are causing the increased temperature, which then increases the small bass population within the Umpqua system, which then feed on those smolts. And it's a huge problem. And so that is why we stress that so much. And the fact that we're not replanting, especially along those riparian areas that are critically important to have the shade of those trees, to have the shade to keep water temperatures low. So that's where we're at.
I know the deadline has passed for people to sign up to testify, but I know that they can still do written input at this point, correct?
They can, yes. And it's critically important that they do that as soon as possible. The commissioners are diligent about reading that testimony. Other commissioners are diligent about pointing to that testimony during the discussion of the agenda items. It's the same thing that I stress of course our residents when it comes to bills here in the legislature. So I really encourage folks to go to the website for the ODF&W Commission meeting and submit written testimony for this agenda item. Again, Commissioner Spellbreak is a fantastic commissioner, and he will be discussing a 750 tag limit for the full Umpqua system. And the other issue is, the other proposal that is already on the table is a one-a-day, two-a-year limit west of Highway 101, but no boats. So when I talked to Fish Division Director Mike Harrington earlier today, I stressed that they should allow boats there and not just Forest Riverbank only. So they will be discussing that tomorrow during the commission meeting as well.
All right, and we do have a link up at 541radio.com. If people want to testify, we've got a link to do that. We'll talk about a whole bunch of other things. Move quickly when we come back in the second segment. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson at 1. State Representative Virgil Osborne on with us tomorrow for Inside Douglas County. State Senator David Brocksmith in Salem right now. Let's move on to a whole bunch of things. We're going to roll quickly here. Big announcement yesterday, Dutch Bros Coffee out of Grants Pass heading to Arizona for their corporate headquarters. What was your reaction to that?
Well, it's just more of the same with the failed leadership of the majority party in the state, Kyle. You have a situation where we're in the race for destination for business friendliness. I mean, Dutch Brothers is not the first company to leave, and it won't be the last until we change course on that business friendliness that we need here in Oregon. I mean, you have Portland, you have a fire sale of one of their iconic office towers. It is devastating in the state to be losing these businesses. Now, when it comes to Dutch Brothers and its owner, you remember they went live on the stock market a few years ago. I remember I worked with Mr. Brisma on trying to get the Flying Lark ring with horse racing down in Grants Pass back then. And it was, you know, even out of my district, but it was jobs and industry in Southwest Oregon. Of course, that was halted under Governor Brown's leadership for a number of reasons. And so I think, you know, as he expands his company across the country, logistics are also part of his decision to move to Arizona. But Arizona ranks 26th in business friendliness in the country. So as he wants to expand his company by moving to Arizona, he's going to be saving resources to be able to put back into his company. And we need to be looking at those type of incentives as we are in the Senate and House Republicans to do so. I mean, it's the same thing with the Democrats' push for the transportation package. Kyle, you have a situation where, I mean, they are pushing a $1 billion a year or more in increased costs on Oregonians. And part of that increased cost includes a 37.5% increase on a gas tax, but then tying it to inflation, which is unheard of. They're looking at a new road user charge. They're looking at increasing car title fees by 136%. They're looking at increasing the payroll transit tax. So there's a payroll tax that everyone pays that funds public transit. They're looking at increasing that 300%, registration fees increasing by 163%. They're looking at adding a new car sales tax at 2% when you already have what I call the privilege tax that they already passed when you buy a new car. They're looking at adding a used car sales tax of 1%, which doesn't currently exist, and a second new car sales tax, increasing at 100%. A new driver's license increasing those costs by 72%. A driver's license renewal increasing those costs by 54%. They're looking at increasing the driving test fees by 43%. A driver's license test by 147%. A driver's learning permit, they're looking to increase 278%. A commercial driver's license increased by 272%. A motorcycle endorsement increased by 75%. A motorcycle registration, 150% increase. Utility trailer registration increased by 163%. A heavy trailer trip permit by 170%. A farm endorsement they want to increase by 235%. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And the House and Senate Republicans have put forward a plan that looks at real cost savings within the department and would not cost the folks of Oregon and, of course, our residents in Roseburg and Douglas County a darn dime of an increase. And those talks were occurring. And when they rolled out their plan, practically none of those suggestions were included. So this is where we're at with a super minority, super majority status in this body, where they can do this without a Republican vote. And so I am hopeful that the pressures that bear upon those Democrats in those swing districts, you know, where you have a voter registration, of course, that is barely a D, that the pressure will bear upon them not to support, of course, these just egregious tax increases on Oregonians that we just don't have the resources to pay.
17 days to go. It seems like it's going to be a struggle to get through everything that remains.
Well, that's a good thing, pal. I mean, logistically, it's the constitutional sine die at midnight on the 28th. So that's why I say 17, because we got the rest of today and so forth. So we have to be done by 12:01 on the 29th. But it's a good thing to get out of here early because, you know, I mean, as we see the bills that are moving, you know, a lot of them aren't Republican-driven bills. A lot of them are bills that can hurt. I mean, we had a situation where we had a win when it comes to Senate Bill 916 earlier this week, where we had four Democrats join the Republicans to vote against it and when it came back for concurrence. So the Senate passed it out. You remember that fight a week and a half ago or so. The House amended it, and the Democrats passed it out of the House, so it had to come back for concurrence. Well, two of our Democrats joined the two other Democrats that voted no, and so it failed. It went to a conference committee. It came out of that conference committee with a change of 26 weeks to 10 weeks. And for all the listeners out there, this is the bill that allows public employees to be able to collect unemployment while they go on strike, and which is absolutely ridiculous. It's only going to negatively impact those public employee budgets, such as our cities, our counties, our schools, especially, because they don't pay into the unemployment system. Private business pays into the unemployment system. And so if a school district, let's say, goes on strike now after this passage of this bill, they will be able to get 10 weeks of paid unemployment while on strike. The school district would then be obligated to then pay back that unemployment deficit in the unemployment fund. And these are, of course, unbudgeted funds within the school's budget. So not only are the unions of public employee unions, of course, going on strike for things like increased pay that might not be budgeted for, then you have the situation where that public entity, such as a school district, would then be on the hook for those dollars that they were collecting in unemployment benefits while on strike. It's a horrible piece of legislation. I thought we had it killed. The conference committee reduced the weeks from 26 to 10. Which then had two of the four Democrats that voted no with us earlier this week to change their mind. And it passed today with a 16-14 vote off the Senate floor, and it's headed back to the House.
All right, a lot going on. We'll cover more again soon. State Senator David Brocksmith, thanks for being on.
Thank you, Kyle.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening. listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.